Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hello, Will Duggan.
Oh, hiya, mate. I'm just chatting about the environmental impact of my vape pen. I didn't realise we were recording. I thought I was talking to you, but it turns out I was talking to myself.
You're talking to the world.
Hello, world.
We are in Stratford-upon-Avon.
We are home of one of the most exciting things in history, I'd say. Of course, you say Stratford-upon-Avon, and I think butterflies.
Yeah! Listen up. If we wanted to know about some dead white guy, we would do literally any history ever. We don't. We want to know about butterflies. So we're here at Stratford-upon-Avon Butterfly Farm because Georgia asked us to go to Stratford-upon-Avon. I had a look and I thought, do you know what? Shakespeare gets enough. He just gets enough, doesn't he? Whereas butterflies, who's advocating for butterflies?
Lewis Carroll?
Maybe. Now, before we start, we're sort of just over halfway through Series 3 now, aren't we, Will?
We are. It's over halfway through Series 3 now. I hope you've enjoyed it. We've enjoyed making it.
Yeah, we really hope you've enjoyed it. We're starting to turn our attention to Series 4 and whether or not Series 4 is going to happen. If you're enjoying National Treasures and you'd like it to happen, we need your help. We would love you to go to our Patreon and think about becoming a patron of the National Treasures podcast.
Yeah. When Laura said help, read cash.
Yeah.
So
costs us a hell of a lot of money.
Oh yeah, we're hemorrhaging money. We are hemorrhaging money. So we've got the Patreon. We really want to do Series 4, but we also want to eat. So if you go to, as Laura said, patreon.com/national treasures, you can see the two tiers. It's basically a fiver a month. It's a pound a week for, well, what do you get, Laura, for your
Patreon?
Well,
see, we want to make it fair because we know that if you're thinking of signing up, it's because you like us and what we do. So in exchange for you signing up and giving us some money to help us make the main series, we give you 5 extra episodes every month, 4 years and years, and 1 live stream Places and Places, which is where we do a deep dive on a place that we can't visit for National Treasures because it's not on this little island.
Yeah, and we do that over Zoom. So we've done quite a few of them already. We get people to come, we have a chat together. It's really nice, a little join together. I think if I wasn't one of the hosts of National Treasures, I would probably join the Patreon, but then I'd be losing more money, so I can't do that. That's a terrible idea. So yeah, we really want to make Series 4. We love doing the podcast. We love each other.
Yeah.
We've never done a kiss, but it's on the cards.
It's on the cards. You feel the tension ramping up. So we just wanted to say that if you're enjoying National Treasures podcast and you've had a like wild thought about maybe supporting us financially, please give it a thought because we're trying to see if Series 4 is viable. Now, back to Series 3. I'm excited about the butterfly farm. Do you know what I'm immediately thrilled about here?
The butterflies?
Yes. And also, when I was emailing the really nice person about, like, we always email first and say, can we come? Are you okay with us recording while we're there? They immediately said, what day are you coming and what time? And I said, and they were like, listen, don't bother turning up before 11:30. I've got a truckload of school kids. You don't want to be here while they're here.
And as we've arrived, it's what, about 12:30 now?
Yeah.
There's a truckload of school kids on their way out. Like, we've missed you. And we love that.
And I just love that they warned us about that. And they were like, yeah. Avoid. So, should we head in and find some butterflies?
Let's flutter on.
You can probably hear that we are now in. You'll be able to hear the heaters.
You can hear the heaters, you can hear the water, you can tell from my tone of voice that I am damp.
Yeah, it's musty in here.
So we've come in. It's like, basically, if you've ever been to a garden centre, there's always a bit that's sort of a big greenhouse, covered in netting, a bit warmer, got that tropical, artificial feeling. He said it's, what, 22, 24 degrees in here?
It's lovely. Balmy.
It's balmy. I wish I was in shorts.
Oh, a butterfly really nearly landed on your head then.
So you walk in, and it's like a path, arrows on the ground. So there was a butterfly on the floor that I thought was dead. But he said it's just, and basically it landed on me. I'm not sure how I feel about this.
There's so much bigger.
I'm not sure how I feel about it, Laura.
There's butterflies everywhere, basically. You walk through the door and it is Butterfly City. You're on their turf. They're so much bigger than I thought they would be. They're like 20 centimetres span across.
Well, you'll see from the on the Instagram. They're huge. And I know that they are nice and I know that they are harmless. But whenever they come near me, I think I'm about to die.
They are flappy. So the main ones we've seen so far, there's brown ones.
They're so vibrant on the inside.
The big... Oh, there's one that's, please, like, dive-bombing us at the moment, that's a really beautiful cerulean blue.
No, that's the same one.
Is it?
Look,
is that what they're like?
That one there,
so they're big brown boys on the outside. They look just like they're pooer flies, or butter poos. And then when they open their wings up, they're all blue and bright in the middle.
Yes, I'm going to try and catch a photo, Laura. Like a candid upskirt photo of this butterfly when it opens its wings. It's nice. So the one that I thought was dead wasn't very well. He'd lost some legs. There's a big table full of fruit where they just put the ones that are having a bit of a bad time.
And then they just recuperate on there. It's like a little spa. A spa full of mouldy fruit for butterflies.
Smashed it.
Oh, beautiful.
Right, should we head through?
There's a guy hanging out under this leaf. Above Will's head right now is a massive leaf. And there's a little guy hanging underneath there. I think he's green, but it's hard to tell because of the reflected green light of the leaf.
Could also be a leaf.
No.
No, I know, but I'm just saying, that's his camouflage.
There's more guys up there, look. So there's a little board just to our right now, and it's got some information on other animals that live in a jungle habitat.
The first one my eyes have been drawn to is the jaguar, so I hope it's not one in the greenhouse.
Oh, see, my eyes were drawn to the chakalaka.
Yeah.
There's a bird called a chakalaka. It's not endangered, which is nice. The sound made by the chakalaka gives the bird its name.
What noise is that?
Chakalaka. Like that.
I know the one.
Like that.
I know the one.
Hey, what I really like here is that each of these animals on the board has its own footprint, and then they've done paths through the jungly room that we're in now, and if you follow those footprints, you'll find each of the animals.
Let's go and try and find some footprints then, and some animals.
Well, look at this guy with see-through wings.
Oh my God, that's amazing.
That is genuinely incredible. A butterfly here is sort of got like a brown lacy outside, and then it just looks see-through, like it's like glass.
Yeah, I did think for a second that it was like a hole.
Yeah.
Because it can't be, because the wing wouldn't work.
No. It's sitting on a little table stand, which I guess they fill with sugar water, and so they can like dip down into it and drink the sugar water.
That's exactly what this guy's doing. Huge statue of a penis.
That is what that is.
I never have understood why butterflies are so beloved and moths get such a bad rap.
I think as moths are bothersome at night and they're not pretty.
Some moths are very pretty and some butterflies are uggos.
Yeah, but moths are out in the night, so you can't see how pretty they are. Ooh, so the guy that Will is photographing now almost looks like one of those really nice bantam hens, you know? It's white with brown stripes, and then it looks like little hearts on it. What's mad about butterflies, I think, is like, you know, sometimes you get like dogs and cats with beautiful patterns, but butterflies haven't been bred by us to do this, which makes it extra cool.
Yeah, they're just nature's show off.
Yeah, they've done it themselves. Like, they've shagged the fittest other flying things so much that this has happened.
I get it.
Look at that one. So the one in front of us now is like a really matte velvet black with pinky red, like corally hot red down the middle of it. Will's taking photos of all of these, so make sure to head over to our Instagram to have a look at these. But that is amazing.
There's one here that's lime green, Laura. And like you think, like you said, how pretty they are. There's camouflage. Like these ones we've seen, you don't notice them. Then they open their wings, they're like, but I'm fit.
Don't eat me, I'm too sexy.
Shall we head into the Discovery Zone?
Yeah, Discovery Zone. Here we go. So we've gone through like that cellophane wrapping like it's a deli, and we're in the Discovery Zone now. It's a little bit cooler in here.
So, did you know that the Atlas moth, Laura, I'm reading now by the way guys, is the largest moth in the world, right?
I didn't.
So they're either named after the Titan god of endurance, Atlas.
Or the map.
Or the map. Yeah, they're basically they look like a map, yeah.
And the Oh, I was being facetious, but no. That is actually it.
And the tips of their wings look a lot like the head of a snake. So when it hides, it waggles its wing to make people think it's a snake.
Nature's crazy.
Does not have a mouth.
What?
Like many
moths. So it just eats when it's a caterpillar and then never eats again?
Yeah, and then it dies of, I imagine, hunger.
Yeah. Wow. Oh, wouldn't you just be so sad not to have a mouth?
I'd wear smaller jeans.
There's a little wall thing all about caterpillars. We're stick insects. There's a glass box over here with stick insects and a jungle nymph. Jungle nymphs inhabit the forests of Malaysia and Will's dreams.
Jungle nymphs, water nymphs, wood nymphs. They give me wood nymphs.
Stick insects were a real craze when I was a kid. People had stick insects as a pet.
I was just about to say, about once a week, some idiot would bring in like a small black finger who wants a stick insect. My mum always said no, because what's the point? And as a child, I was furious. But looking back, I was like, yeah, fair play.
So there's also another wall thing over here about the amazing butterfly life cycle. So first of all, the butterfly has got to find someone to do kissing with.
Butterfly kissing. So, boom. They're out there.
Does some kissing.
Male butterfly finds a lady butterfly. Days 4 to 11, the lady butterfly finds herself a nice spot and lays some eggs.
It's got to have a good view. It's got to have central heating. It's got to have access to a coffee shop. It's got to be pram accessible.
Well, that's humans. In most butterflies will lay their eggs on one or two species of plant only, where some butterflies will do it anywhere. Then,
sluts.
Day 12 to 19. The butterfly, the caterpillar, emerges. A caterpillar is little more than an eating machine, which you'll know if you've read the book, The Very Hungry Caterpillar.
Or the Will Duggan autobiography.
Handsome and solid. So what they're doing as a caterpillar is, you're a real piece of shit, you know that. They've brought up their fat reserves to help become a butterfly. The feast begins. The very first thing it eats is its very own eggshell. That's like
being a baby and being born and just grumping your own placenta.
Yeah, or the Wicked Witch eating her own gingerbread house. Oh my God, it goes so fast that the skin stretches. Oh, I've been there, mate. And it sheds its skin and replaces it. I haven't been there, mate. I've shed my jeans and replaced them.
So he grows massive, massive, quick, 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 quick. Then when he's fully grown, stops eating, changes colour, starts producing silk thread to attach itself to a twig.
Been there, mate.
Sheds its skin for the last time. And then reveals a hard skin underneath, which is the chrysalis. I thought it would like wrap itself up in something. I didn't think that the chrysalis was it.
We weren't listening in primary school then.
Caterpillars are disgusting.
So this is my favourite thing about caterpillars that come in butterflies. Did you know? I'm
more
reading
than
this
one
now.
Thing that you like.
What about butterflies? Yeah. One, they're fit. Two, they start off as very hungry caterpillars. And three, this. Within the pupa, the caterpillar releases loads of enzymes and turns itself, Laura, into a caterpillar soup. Like it turns itself into a soup and then grows the butterfly from that soup. It's the metamorphosis. But did you know, and this isn't from the wall, iron is from my life, some scientists sort of like trained caterpillars to be scared of, I don't know, the colour red or whatever. Then when the soup happens and the butterfly comes, the butterfly, who was once the caterpillar, is still scared of the colour red. Like that soup can retain memories. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
Anyway, it emerges.
And now it's a butterfly.
It has about 3 weeks, which it spends mainly trying to find a lady butterfly to bang.
Oh, it's depressing being anything other than a human, in my opinion.
Shall we head on to
the next? Do you think I'm allowed to eat a snack in here?
I don't know, but I'm probably going to do a wee in here.
I'm going to have a snack while you do that, then.
What snack are you going to have?
A little protein chocolate bar.
Have you been to the toilet in here?
Yeah.
Do the ladies' toilets have a video of caterpillars eating really fucking loud?
Yeah.
Put me right off my wee-wee.
Sorry, I'm still eating my snack.
So there's a lovely emerging case made. It's not natural. It's a butterfly. Behave.
I hate things that flap around my head.
You've chosen to come here. Georgia said, let's go to Stratford. We could have gone to Anne Hathaway's cottage, the Shakespeare birthplace, a theatre, I imagine. But where have you chosen to come? Somewhere that you don't like to flap around your head. How often does that happen? Anyway, it's an emerging case. It's the perfect perfect environment for a pupa to emerge as a butterfly. And it looks absolutely fantastic. Uncle Laura, I'm going to pass you the microphone so I can take a photo of this, because I love it.
It's sort of like, you know, if you go to like a posh deli place and they have a fridge with glass and then they've got all the cured meats hanging there, it's like that, but for caterpillars.
It's the other end of the life cycle, isn't it, really? This is birth as opposed to cured death.
Yeah, it's like if you're the sort of pervert that likes eating baby things, you know? There's one, so there's a few.
Like mushed up apple.
What?
That's a baby thing.
Don't do jokes. There's a few that are like pretty much out and just look like they're recovering from having come out.
Oh, sorry, pop in.
And then there's some, like this one here, that all still looks all raggedy and messed up. He looks still half caterpillar, you know? The thing is, though, that soup thing you were chatting about, Why bother going into a hot... Like, a butterfly is not that different from a caterpillar that you need to become a soup to change.
I think it's not a choice.
Yeah, but that just seems impractical. You're already halfway there. Just put some wings on the back.
It's not... I think you're thick.
Okay, so we're down in the discovery zone now, and we're going to move back in to the main area. Oh, it's a little cute baby. Hello, are you having the best time ever? Yeah. Oh, a butterfly just landed on the baby. Oh, look at that one. There's a like yellow spotty one. Oh, it nearly landed on me. Did you see how brave I was then? I put my hand out for it.
Yeah, you put your hand out and it went, nah.
You went, no, I don't trust you not to smack me. Agreed.
Do you know what this place reminds me of?
The jungle.
In a way, actually, yeah.
Kew Gardens.
Shut up, I'll tell you.
Like a really cool restaurant with a high budget.
The Isle of
Wight. The toilet.
The Isle of Wight.
A kiss you once had with a kitten. Your first shave.
Look at this.
A fog. We're never going to know what this reminds Will of.
The Isle of Wight Donkey Sanctuary.
How the hell does this remind you of the Isle of Wight Donkey? One, donkeys and butterflies are very different.
Have you considered shutting up for about 18 seconds and I'll tell you? Number one.
It was a long drive to get here, if you're wondering why we're ratting with each other.
I'm not... No, you're being bad.
You just said, have you considered shutting up for a second?
I don't think you have, though. I said 18 seconds.
All right, I'm not going to talk for the rest of the podcast.
So what it reminds me of is, when we went to the Isle of Wight Donkey Sanctuary, you may recall that someone was quite annoyed that all there was donkeys. And we were like, well, it's the Isle of Wight Donkey Sanctuary. What more do you want? But I will say, if you're not interested in butterflies, there's nothing... It landed on my head. There's nothing, it's gone now. There's nothing for you here. But I've got to say, they've absolutely smashed out the remit of this being a butterfly farm. I've seen so many butterflies. Laura, any thoughts? I wouldn't have thought this was going to go. Laura, say nothing if you're a bumhead. Laura, say nothing if I'm the greatest. Laura, say nothing if I can have your dog for my dinner. I'm going to eat back here, Laura. Okay, we're heading on. You're making more work for your edit here, mate. Alright, we head round. There are statues. So a lot of the butterflies come from Belize. So the jungle is like Belizean. So there's some nice statues. It's not a penis, it's a mushroom. Hallucinatory mushrooms are used in ritual ceremonies that help the Mayan shamans converse with their gods. There's some statues of some drunk lads. I recognise that. Loads of nice statues. So it's really about butterflies and the surrounding areas. There's a photo of Laura ignoring me. That'll be on the Instagram. You've got to admire her commitment to the bit.
You going to apologise?
I wouldn't have thought so, no.
Is this, look at the water collected in there, just like in the Bromeliad trilogy, you know, the Terry Pratchett ones?
Yes.
We could listen to more of that today.
We can, and we
yes.
will.
Yes! Oh, there's fish! So we're coming round, we're in the sort of second part of the flight room, and you can hear the waterfall, I've no doubt, and then there's a big pond in the middle, and it's got enormous koi carp in it.
Yeah, and a big statue of like a Mayan head.
Where's that? Oh, yeah!
Over there.
Yeah.
I've got to say, I really like it.
Me too, it's very calming, isn't it? Maybe it's also, it's nice coming in winter where you're just warm for a while.
Yeah.
Like, a ticket here and being this warm is probably cheaper than having the heating on at my house.
And also, I will say this, it's that nice warm where it's like summer, not that artificial warm of a car where you're always either a bit too hot or like, oh, I'll crack a window.
Because it's wet warm, isn't it?
Sort that out, car guys.
So we're going through another flappy plastic doorway bit into the mini beast's metropolis. Ooh.
I used to have a stand-up routine about mini beasts.
Was it about your dick?
It was about how mini beasts feature a lot less in my life than my reception year of education told me they would. They've got an axolotl. I thought, until reasonably recently, that they weren't real.
Axolotls are weird looking, aren't they?
They are, and I wish my phone could deal.
He's swimming right up close to your camera, isn't he?
Yeah, if my camera could
Hello,
focus
Hello, buddy.
On
him. Hey, bud. They're not sexy axolotls. I don't really think I'd want one as a pet. An Asian forest scorpion somewhere.
Once we find the scorpion, wins.
Okay. I don't really know how big I'm looking for here.
Can you imagine if it's this massive thing with wood for the trees in it?
I can see some crickets and stuff dropped in to be dinner for the scorpion. But so far, no scorp.
From the picture, he's not small. The terrifying thing, I suppose, if he's not in there, where is he?
Oh my God, he's on your back.
Oh my God, forget it.
Right, we've turned around.
Frogs.
Poison arrow, dying poison arrow frogs. Oh, these guys are cool. Bright yellow and black, like the Lamborghini of frogs.
Oh, they're actually called dying, as in to colour clothes, from a misconception that the locals where they grew up used the skin to dye their clothes. In reality, they are not in any issue, and they're fine. They must be poisonous, though, surely.
I can't think that they wouldn't give you a tummy ache, but I guess it depends how you cook
them. If you're going to call it poison arrow frog and it's not poisonous, you're a piece of shit.
Shoot your poison arrow to my frog.
The next one, there's like eggs.
Rat hatchlings?
No,
rhinoceros rat hatchlings?
It's a type of snake.
Rhino rat snakes? That is just confusing. You can't call a snake a rhino rat.
Yeah.
That is too confusing. Animals like that, that have like hatched here, they're like the reality TV stars. They're like the Miley Cyrus of the animal kingdom.
Yeah, they've been bred for success.
Yeah, like people have been watching them since day one.
Like the comedian Name Redacted.
Oh, this guy is called a Horrid King Assassin Bug. You can't put horrid in something's name.
What's that great joke like on...
There's a type of penguin called the jackass penguin. And someone's like, can you imagine that? They find one, like, I'm going to call this penguin the yellow-hatted penguin, Penguin Bites researcher. Do you know what, dickhead? Guess what?
Right, this has just got ants in it. I'm not wasting my time looking at ants. A golden orb weaver spider over here. Oh, it's up there. Look. Oh, that is a real... I'm not scared of spiders. I don't find them particularly creepy, but that guy is built to make humans fear.
My thing with spiders is I'm not bothered by them. I don't want to be involved with them. Like fans of airsoft. Do you know what I mean?
What's airsoft?
It's like paintball, but with ball bearings. And people get really... Virgins play it.
Right.
I just think, you know, if you can do airsoft, that's fine. I just want to be involved with you.
Sure.
Big shout out to my cousin Andrew. Loves airsoft. Nice bloke.
This is grasshoppers in here. Oh, and they're building a bit more here. That's exciting. So there's going to be more one day. Animals have been moved to avoid stress during the construction work. That makes sense. We've got a giant African millipede. Would you rather have a tarantula running on you or a millipede?
Can I have neither?
No, you have to have one.
Is it running on me or am I holding it?
It's going to run across your face. You're strapped down.
Face up?
Yes.
How long is it going to take?
1 minute.
Is it going to bite me?
Don't know.
Am I legit safe?
You're as safe as you can be with a wild bug crawling on you.
Millipede.
Well, I think I'd go tarantula. Millipedes have got too many legs.
And I want it very clear. The ideal scenario for me there is neither.
So that's a little mini beast corner. How lovely. Back out into Butterfly Town.
This smell is so garden centre that it just makes me like feel like I'm eight. I'm trying to convince my mum to get me a cactus.
We used to go to the garden centre sometimes as a legit day out just to look at the fish.
I grew up not too far from Poddington Garden Centre, where the Poddington peas are from.
Look at the size of those fish! Well, Duggan, these fish are bigger than my dog.
Yeah. I've got some photos of these big boys.
Look at that absolute chonker down there.
And what they eat?
People, by the looks of things. A bird! So there's a bird in front of us. It's like blacky, bluey, greeny. You know that like oil slick on black colour? Small, maybe...
It's a Chinese painted quail.
It's a Chinese painted quail. It's got like a red cresty head and it's kind of digging in the dirt for something. Very beautiful. I'd happily have a quail about the house. I love these see-through ones. I think the see-through ones might be my favourite butterfly.
Yeah, they are beautiful.
Was lovely. Outside is nice, quite peaceful. There's sort of some water areas and like habitat for just natural bugs and stuff to live. And then you can see that they're quite well set up for school visits. So there's just lots of picnic benches and space to eat your own food. And I always think that's nice when you don't have to feel guilty about eating your own packed lunch. Yeah.
Laura, be honest with me. Did you enjoy Stratford Butterfly Farm?
Oh, I've had a lovely time. It's just really nice and gentle and just it is what it is. Do a little bit of learning. Nice and warm, just pretty and relaxing and calming and soothing, yeah.
Yeah. We're in the middle of town. You can nip in. Bish, bash, bosh. Anyway, what do you think TripAdvisor says?
Oh, okay. So it's going to be overwhelmingly positive, I think.
There are 2,300 reviews of this place on TripAdvisor. Its average rating is 4.5 out of 5. The majority of all of them are 5 stars. So I'm going to give you a 3-star review, which is pretty indicative of all of the ones that aren't 5 and 1.
Yeah.
It was very busy and there were far too many people, which meant loads of standing in a queue to see anything. Loads of butterflies, does what it says on the tin, but slightly underwhelming as advertised as the biggest butterfly farm in Europe. Took 40 minutes to see everything. Well, not if you were queuing it, didn't. Reasonable value for money, worth a visit to kill for an hour, especially if the weather outside is naff.
Wait, that's the biggest butterfly farm in Europe?
Yeah, but
look, I'm not slagging it off, I just thought there would have been massive ones.
I reckon that some of them would be like, oh, they're not farms, they're viewing stations. That's a farm, they do it all start to end. So that basically, a lot of them say, look, if it's busy, it can be a while to queue. It's not that big. It's fine.
But the nice thing about being in there is that it's not like a zoo where you can only see creatures in their thing. The butterflies are just everywhere. So wherever you are in the queue, you're it.
Oh, yeah, 100%. You're in it. I suppose it's like the glass cases with the scorpion and that. Yeah. But anyway, that's what the 3 stars say. And then the 5 stars, again, a lot of this is similar all over the board. My friend and I, no children with us, decided to visit and were absolutely not disappointed.
Perverts.
We've come in, no kids, you idiot.
We're perverts.
We are. Get the leather. Got a leather dress in your car.
I have.
Not for anyone who doesn't like butterflies flapping around and landing on you. And some are very, very large. But wow, stunning and well organised. Some butterflies are as big as birds. It was truly amazing. Loads of butterflies flying around and saying hello. It was like
they
being...
They were not saying hello. I dispute that.
We can't see butterfly. We didn't know what they were saying. It was like being in a rainforest. There were also lots of mini beasts to look at. We bought some friendship bracelets.
Aww.
And now... we come to everyone's favourite
part. It's like looking at one star TripAdvisor reviews is like lifting up a rock, isn't it? And just seeing like
fucking mini beasts.
Society doing its own thing in the shade. It's fucking weird.
Now, I'm reasonably sure that the person who wrote this one wrote the Box Hill one from the other week.
Oh, no.
These people use butterflies to fetch cash for them.
Like training them to come back with it in a net.
We are butterfly lovers. They look like beautiful dreams.
Fuck off.
We found this leaflet at one hotel we stayed in the Cotswolds and we made our visit in the afternoon. It was a hot day and lots of butterflies were on the floor. I saw one was seriously injured. Someone must have stepped on it. I told a staff member about the butterfly and he just picked it up and binned it. Tears in my eyes. I could have put it among the flowers and let it die there. It's the place where they belong. After I saw this, I went to see another staff member to suggest her to put up more signs to let people look down when they walk. But her reply was very rude and appalling. She said they didn't want to upset people by putting up too many signs. The butterfly would be eaten in the forest by the predators anyway. But that is in nature world. Here, the beautiful creatures are under your care. Their welfare should be properly considered. These people's behaviour and attitude made me believe they just used the butterflies to fetch cash for them. What a ridiculous combination. The beautiful butterflies and the ugly human beings. I really hope so.
Says someone that's paid money to go and look at butterflies.
Yeah, their cash has been fetched. I really hope certain authorities can see my post or TripAdvisor can raise my concern to someone who really cares.
Jesus.
Butterflies look like a beautiful dream.
Fine, fine. And yes, I do think you need to have your brain open to the possibilities of animal exploitation and the welfare of animals when you're there. However, paying money to see butterflies in captivity and then complaining that people are using butterflies to get people to pay money to see them is bananas.
I imagine, because I live 3 weeks, loads of butterflies die there. You can't have a graveyard out the back.
Yeah. People.
Should we head into the town?
I love the idea that somebody goes through all the one stars of TripAdvisors looking for crimes that they can solve too.
Laura, I can put my sunglasses on.
It's sunny. Yeah, let's go and find somewhere for lunch and explore Stratford-upon-Avon because I don't think I've ever been here before.
Shakespeare was from here, you know.
Was he? No, someone would have mentioned it. Sound too twee, Will, but the walk from Butterfly Farm to the town centre is bloody beautiful.
Yeah, we've crossed across like a bridge over the Stratford and Avon upon Avon Canal. We've just walked over a lock.
Like 50 swans.
A couple of theatres, statues all over. It's beautiful. And this is the thing about Stratford. I don't want you to think this. Like, it gets a bit of a bad rap for banging on about Shakespeare all the time.
Yeah, God, pack it in.
But it is nice.
Where was Marlowe born? No idea. Don't care.
Where did Marlowe die?
Don't know.
Upstairs in a pub.
Yeah.
Where's Will Duggan going to die?
Wanking.
Upstairs in a pub.
Wanking.
Stop saying wanking.
Look at that. He looks like he's holding his penis.
It's
very cold.
Like
my fingers are cold. That tree is wearing a knitted jumper.
Not to sound like a one-star TripAdvisor review, but it is windy.
It is windy.
I'm starving.
I'm really starving too. Where have you chosen for us to go for lunch?
Oh, I didn't really actually decide.
You had one job.
Yes, but we discussed a couple of places, but then when we left, we just sort of walked. And, you know, let's just, let's see how the world takes us.
Chicken I'm big... expecting higgledy-piggledy streets. Like that, like Tudor buildings-y type thing, you know, where they have the wood beams poking out through the brick.
You're talking black and white. I was watching.
Oh, look at that street. That's exactly what I was expecting.
So we're just
look at that higgledy-piggledy shop there. That doesn't even fit in a line with the other ones. The Cozy Chic Pet Boutique is a dog clothes shop, William. Oh, I could get a jumper that says Dog Mama.
I think if you do that, you'll be looking for another partner to do this podcast with.
You don't want me to have
would a... if I come and pick you up at like 6 a.m. to drive to, I don't know, fucking Cornwall or something to go to the Eden Project. And I stay out and you're wearing a hoodie and like a lilac velvet that just says Dog Mama.
I'm a dog mama. Oh, and look, I could get Mackie this jumper that says My Mummy is My Valentine.
Her mummy's not a valentine. You stole her away from her mummy.
Hey.
You paid money to kidnap her away from her mummy.
It's because her mummy would have beaten her up if she'd stayed.
You don't know that.
Yeah, I do.
It is all very twee.
Oh, it's lovely.
I do like someone... I've not been to Stratford for a while, but what I do like is how everything sort of crows in Shakespeare. So, like, the Indian restaurant was called Thesbians. There's a cafe there just called Midsummer Garden.
Tudor World, experience the past. Tudor World Museum. Syphilis. Every day. Wow. I mean, like, I don't want to go to this museum, but the building itself is insanely cool. Look at the higgledy-piggledy courtyard and the gateway. I think ghost tours are something that annoys me even more than exploiting butterflies.
Have I ever told you about the ghost tour I did in Edinburgh? Or didn't do in Edinburgh? All right, so I was up in Edinburgh doing... All Killer No Filler. We're doing like a fundraiser for Monkey Barrel. So obviously Kiri and Rachel were up there. Kiri's boyfriend, good friend of mine, and I went up to do some music. So we're up in Edinburgh for a couple of days. We had a night free, and there was a ghost tour, bus tour of Edinburgh, leaving at midnight. It was our last night here, let's go. So we bought some tickets. We got there about 22, and at 10:02 the bus creaks along and it stops, and the previous guys get off, and the guide, he's sort of dressed up like a Victorian. Hello there, I'm ready to take you. We're gonna be a few minutes. I think there's a ghost in the engine. Anyway, the bus has broken down. It's half midnight, it's freezing, it's October in Scotland. And this poor bloke, he'll be a 21-year-old actor, he's there just doing his dream, fair fucks to him. And he basically has to say, hello, we're off now as soon as we get the magical carriage. But I'll be honest with you, I don't think it's going to be fixed. So if you need a refund, get ye on your magic computer. And on, it's www.edinburghghosttour.com/refunds. You'll need the code. The code will be ARF. And just basically fucking bloke trying to do admin, like Burke and Hare.
What a sweetheart.
Funny bloke. What's house prices around here?
Oh, Spenny. There's a lot of dogs in Stratford upon Avon.
There is. Look at these places.
This though is what I'm picturing. You've got the HSBC bank in the beautiful red brick, and then all the black and white houses. I mean, have you ever seen a sexier Robert Dias? Can we go into Waterstones and see if they've got my book?
Your book?
Yeah.
It depends. How sad are you going to be if they don't?
Really sad.
Sorry. Oh, it's so close to your book.
Oh, there's loads of books about Klopp. Where's my one? My one's the best one.
Very few about banging
it. Idiots. Well, listen here, Waterstones, Stratford-upon-Avon. You want to know why people only buy online? Because that's where the good books are available.
I got one of the rare unsigned, but obviously your book.
Nah, I've snuck in and signed every page. Well, William, on your right, some sort of, I don't know, house where some bloke was born.
Yeah, we're near the Shakespeare birthplace. It's really... And we're not going there today, but
It's really
and not
good.
Just because they didn't reply to our emails.
But mainly because of that.
But also because, you know, we're just better than Shakespeare.
I do quite like
I've made up loads of words.
Name six.
Squeeb. Nordlil. Liloob.
Could you do the next two a bit smaller in volume?
Skunt. Skunt. And...
Harry
I love
Potter.
Those. I love every, those get, knock-off Harry Potter
gets
shops.
He everywhere, that lad. Anyway, I'll take a photo of the elves.
Oh, there's an all-year-round Christmas shop. I love all-year-round Christmas shops. Oh, my God. There's just a cardboard cutout of Mr. Bean in that doorway. That scared the shit out of me. I love an all-year-round Christmas shop, William.
Yeah?
Yeah, I just think it's so nice. You can just have a little bit of Christmas.
Have a mulled wine. Do you know, I think mulled wine gets a real bad rap.
Does it? Who's bad rapping mulled wine?
Who's not having it in July? You can have it in July.
Wait, but it's hot.
Yeah, but I drink tea and coffee in July.
Yeah, at breakfast.
No, all day long.
Hmm.
I'll occasionally have a breakfast wine.
So, Will, we've stopped for lunch. We decided to have a bit of traditional Stratford-upon-Avon food. What did we go for?
Stratford sushi.
Stratford sushi. Decided to just have a little bit of sushi to end our day trip. We've had a lovely wander around. A little bit of spring sunshine. Like, it's freezing, but there's a bit of sun.
Yeah, like I... It's nicer to be outside looking... Inside looking out at the sun than it is outside freezing in the sun.
Yeah. Will's doing that thing because we're the only people in this restaurant. He's talking very quietly so he doesn't disturb the other diners. Mm. Chewing loudly, though, isn't he? Will, have you had a nice time in Stratford-upon-Avon?
I have. I will come back in a heartbeat.
Me as well. Should we go and chat to Georgia and find out why she loves the town?
That is a superb idea. Over to you, me. And there we go. What a lovely time we had in Stratford. We are now joined with the lovely Georgia Tennant. Hello, Georgia.
Hi, how are you?
I'm very well. I regret saying the lovely. I sound like a 90s game show host.
I quite enjoyed it, to be honest. It's a bit presumptuous that I'm lovely, but I'm glad that you went there rather than a different word you could have used.
See, we don't let anyone on the podcast that's not lovely, though. The aim of this podcast is like, how can you make the most wholesome content that you can? Is it edgy? No, not in the slightest.
Lovely.
Thank you. How are you? Thank you very much for sending us to Stratford. We had a lovely time.
We had a great time.
You had a good time, yeah.
Why Stratford, then? Why was that your pick?
I feel like Stratford is, in my life, is a bit all roads lead to Stratford. Like, I remember going there on a school trip, and I don't remember much about it, but I remember that I went. Obviously, didn't make a massive impact on me when I was about 11. I think it was obviously something to do with Shakespeare.
Yeah, it always is, isn't it?
Bloody Shakespeare.
Bloody Shakespeare. And then I found myself back there, slightly against my will, when I started dating my now husband, then boyfriend. He was doing a play there. And I just learned to drive. And the only place that I knew how to drive to, because I was sort of trying to
have
my boyfriend, was to drive to Stratford. So I would do it like twice a week. I couldn't really drive anywhere else, but I just knew that road because it's sort of a straight line, isn't it? You can't really go wrong. I would always be in the slow lane. It would take me a really long time. And then I'd be forced to go and watch Shakespeare plays. I don't understand Shakespeare.
I think I went on a school trip to see your then boyfriend, now husband, in a play in Stratford.
Oh, that's quite... Oh, look at that.
Synergy.
Synergy. Like that. What play was it?
I think it was Macbeth, set in World War One. But I'll be honest with you, I don't remember much about it, apart from I kissed Hannah Lester. Girl from my school. I don't know what she's doing now. I wish her well.
Well, I didn't get to kiss Hannah when I went to Stratford. I think I'd love it even more if I had done. She sounds great. But yes, yeah, so just I would spend like a lot of time in Stratford wandering around whilst I was, because either it was I'd have to watch the show, which was brilliant. But, you know, Hamlet on repeat is a bit
yeah.
Hard.
No matter how much you fancy a potential boyfriend, there's only so many times you can watch Hamlet.
Exactly. I put the work in. It was like 27 times I saw it, you know.
Oh, my God.
Really liked him.
Get on with it, Hamlet. Be or not be. Just do it in less time.
Faster.
See, this is where I'm grateful that I married an improv comedian and the set is like 20 minutes maximum. I'm not sitting through 3 hours of Shakespeare.
I really put the work in.
You did.
But then I would find myself on the days where I didn't want to sit through it again. Sorry, enjoy it.
Yes, yes, yes.
I would find myself wandering around Stratford trying to find stuff to do. So I would go to sort of historic buildings and tea rooms and ghost walks. And there's a, I sort of think any place that has an all year round Christmas shop is sort of the best place in the world, right?
Did I or did I not say that when we walked past it, Will?
Yeah, I think you said that. And I said in a nicotine withdrawal way, yeah, whatever, let's go and get some lunch. So I'm sorry, I was one of the bad guys there.
Actually, I think you got quite sad that mulled wine wasn't a year-round delight. Have you ever worked in Stratford? Or is it like a purely like escape from work sort of place?
I haven't worked in Stratford because, like I said, I don't understand Shakespeare, so no. I think I'm performing it. I'd like to, but for me, it feels a bit like a skill I'll never have.
Do you think the people of Stratford ever just wish they could have some plays that weren't Shakespeare, though? Maybe you should just bust in and be like, you guys must be sick to the back teeth of this. Here's some other plays.
Let's mix this stuff up.
Yeah.
The RSC does Educating Rita. I'd watch that.
Yeah. Although to be fair, Matilda is where, that's where it started. And that was sort of, I suppose, its most famous non-Shakespeare thing. And if you're going to have a non-Shakespeare thing, probably the most successful musical of the last sort of 20 years.
Yeah. Yeah, they're good at what they do.
Oh, good at what they do. Yeah. I would love to be, I'd love to be that person. I just know my limitations and I'm not that person. Yeah. But you'll just find me in the tea room or at the Christmas shop. Probably.
What's your favourite tea room?
They sort of all look a bit the same.
Yeah.
Because they're, you know, it's weird. It's a bit like a theme park, sort of like dumped in a sort of Saxon town, market town. It's quite, I like the juxtaposition of that though. That's quite appealing. Like, you know, Shakespeare's house next to a Starbucks.
Yeah.
That appeals to me. Because I like history, but I also want a nice, you know, soy latte with caramel.
Oh, so I was just going to say, what's your beverage and snack of choice?
I'm not consistent.
I love it. Yeah.
So for Christmas, in my going back to the mulled wine situation, I would always go gingerbread latte. I wouldn't have that.
You're delicious.
So I guess it depends on the time of year. I'm very susceptible to advertising. So if they're all the picture, I'm like, yeah, that I need that one.
Yeah.
I've recently started in coffee shops, and this has been an absolute game changer because I'm quite boring when it comes to coffee. Most of the time it's just black coffee, but now I'm adding like a shot of vanilla or hazelnut, but just to an Americano, and it makes the mornings nice. But that's sugar for you, I suppose.
Is that the sort of, is that your sort of post-traumatic stress thing? Is it's like you've gone, I'm going to put some vanilla in my coffee. That's it. Like a lot of people are having sort of therapy, but yours is sort of coffee based.
Oh yeah, completely. I've not dealt with any of my issues and I really am finding bad weight. We're talking booze, cigarettes, and now vanilla flavoured sugar.
Sugar in my coffee. Yeah.
I'd like to say, if there are any therapists listening, please email us nationaltreasurepodcast@gmail.com and let me know what I can do about William.
in my Edinburgh show in 2019, I was talking about my relationship as an adult with my childhood imaginary friends. And there was one guy who was enjoying it a lot more than everyone else. It was going very well. And I had stopped the show to the point, like, I'm really sorry, mate. Like, I wrote this show and I don't like it as much as you seem to be enjoying it. What's going on? And he said, oh, I'm really sorry. It's just that I'm a psychologist and you're the most fascinating person I've met in about 2 years.
That's amazing. I had imaginary friends.
Did you?
Yeah,
I had three imaginary friends. Like, and then, I mean, I was an only child and I've had, you know, five children. You can see what's happened there. But when I was younger, obviously, I was too young to have kids. So I created invisible people I would spend all my time with. I think I would have really liked your show.
It's a sign of intelligence having three. Because I'm sorry, this is completely off topic, but very interesting.
Did we have a topic?
Imaginary friends, They help you like deal with emotions that you would if you had friends, or as a child you don't. But if you have multiple, it means that you're aware of the different facets of your brain, so you compartmentalize different things. So Georgia, you are medically super smart.
Really glad. Thank you for inviting me on.
That's all right. My sister had an imaginary husband when she was little. And then one day our babysitter asked her where he'd got, I can't think it was called Pete or something. And she killed him off in a car crash.
Wow.
Bit much.
Yeah. I never had imaginary friends. It was just, I was too like serious as a child. And because my imagination's not very good and I've not got a very visual imagination, I just couldn't see them. So I was like, well, they're not there. I can think about people, but like, you know, I was too like pragmatic as a child. Very straight-laced. No, I could do it now. I don't know what that would say about the state of my marriage and friendships if I was like, do you know what? Nah, I'll make up some of my own.
Imagine if next time we hang out, you're like, sorry, well, I'm having a chat with Klaus in the back.
Start introducing some new characters to the podcast. We went to the Butterfly Farm, obviously, and we had a lovely time. If you could be a bug, what kind of a bug would you be?
I would be, I don't know what they're called, but they look like ladybirds, but they're not ladybirds. They're the ones that invade your house and are poisonous on the outside. So you think, oh, pretty, that's a ladybug. And then as you go to touch it, you realise it's one of the fake ladybugs and it's trying to kill you. Because I just quite like that. I feel like it's a sort of supervillain type of bug.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And you don't have to do social touching. Like, you know, when you're out in public and people are a bit handsy and you're like, oh, don't touch me.
I'm not over that. The pandemic, actually, I now feel like I've got a justified reason to not hug or kiss anyone.
Yes, 100%.
Yeah. Asian lady beetles, they're called.
They're called what?
Asian lady beetles.
Well, that's me. I'm an Asian lady beetle.
I love it. And if you're one of those instead of a butterfly, you don't have to turn into soup in the middle of your life.
Exactly. I'm really impressed that you went to see the butterflies, because I don't think I'd be able to do that. I think I'd find it a bit creepy. I did Google it, actually, to sort of, you know, get my standing on where you'd been. Some of them are absolutely massive.
Yeah,
oh,
massive.
Yeah. And they dive bomb your head. I'm not going to lie. The episode people have just listened to is a lot of me squealing as they come too near my hair.
We really played the big man until we were attacked by the Luftwaffe of bugs.
No, I'm impressed. I would not be able to do that.
Oh, thank you. We had a lovely time. Well, thank you so much for sending us that. And thank you for chatting to us this morning. We're really grateful. Have you got anything you want to plug? I know you're on Instagram and Twitter and stuff, but I have to imagine people are more likely to be following you than us. So it's probably not that helpful. But...
yeah.
Shall I just plug your podcast then?
Yeah.
I think
that...
Thanks, buddy.
Very welcome. Thanks for having me on. And thank you for, you know, trusting me to come up with somewhere you should visit for the day, because that could have gone very wrong. I felt quite a lot of pressure.
No, you see, I thought you were a good person, because I know the first time we messaged was I was gigging in Chiswick and you were there, and you just went, you sent me a message and it was something like, I thought, oh, I'd send that to someone. You were like, I'm on a night out that could have been a disaster. Thank you so much for being there. And I was like, babe, I feel you. Don't worry. Well, thank you. Thank you very much, Georgia Tennant, everyone.
And that's it from us. Thank you so much for listening. We will be back next week with another episode of the National Treasures podcast.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.